Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, it's Mr. Encore. Fantasy sports and politics crew. Yeah, check. Fantasy sports and politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, log on.
You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Hello, everyone. And welcome once again. Hello? You there, Jeff?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Hello, everyone, and welcome once again to Thursday night on 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And as always, this time, it's the master plan. It's the FSP Crew Show. I am your host, JT, a.k.a. The Master, and I'm joined, as usual, like I say every week, my fellow Jersey guy, my double J, Jeff the Joker, and we make up two-thirds of that FSP Crew Show. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220 is a place to be if you want to talk to Jeff or me. Got a great show in store for you tonight. We're going to be talking about some NCAA basketball. Going to be talking about some, as usual, some football, and maybe throwing a little baseball, because I want to talk a little bit about my local team. First off, we want to talk about some basketball. We have a chat room that's also open for you. If you don't feel like calling in and listening on the telephone line, you can just log on. And if you want to put your comments in the chat room, you can do that. Ask a question, make a statement in that, you can do that also. Therefore, your convenience, what you get it, put into it is what you get out. And if you are playing in the brackets, or playing a bracket or brackets, four brackets that make up the NCAA 64, then
I want winners.
And some of those winners you thought were going to take place, millions of people. And I'm saying millions of people because the millions of people do play the bracket are highly disappointed because, and it happens every year, but you never know where it's going to happen or when it's going to happen. But 2-3 seeds. 2-3 seeds. And I have to say it again because it's pretty unbelievable that you're a 3 seed for a reason. And you go up against, in the first round, a 14 seed. And both of them, I'm saying both of them, lose to a 14 seed. Now, I'm pretty sure, I don't know, well, let me put it this way. I'm going to ask him, but I'm pretty sure Jeff may have filled out a bracket or two and included these two teams. But I'm going to go through the NCAA bracket, east, west, north, and south, and see how much we differ in the brackets. I don't know if you're ready for this, Jeff, but this is one of the things I want to go through. It's the NCAA bracket, and get your opinion on who you think are going to win. Obviously, you some of these already have taken place, and you know the results. But hopefully we can go back, and if we picked the winner or if we didn't pick the winner, that's whatever it is, what it is. But before we get there, before I start rambling on, I'm going to say hello to Jeff and have Jeff say a few before we start the show. Talk to me, Jeff.
Hey, Jerry. Thanks for the introduction. I'm happy to be here. I didn't do a bracket this year. I don't do it every year. It's, you know, it depends how I feel. I have been hearing about UCLA and SMU, which and that was on a controversial call. And I'm fairly certain of this. I didn't get a chance to double check this. That I think UCLA was one of these teams that came on late in the season, and some people didn't think they deserved to be there. And I also think they're one of the many places where Larry Brown has coached before, who's now currently doing a great job down at SMU. And that's something else because, you know, UCLA is one of these places where the fans, they don't just visit the past. They live in the past. So you know those fans.
Right.
Know all about Larry Brown. And also one of the Cinderellas is Alabama Birmingham. And something I want to bring up because it makes me think about you know, New York area college hoops. And you might not have heard it because of the timing. Did you hear that Fordham canned their head coach? You know,
what?
I mean, Tom Pecora. Well, they've been losing a lot, but they play in a gym that's smaller than a high school gym, and they got lousy facilities, you know. And they're playing in the Atlantic 10, which is a pretty good basketball conference. If they're not going to have the budget or whatever for basketball, they can't blame this guy for losing. You know, maybe they should switch conferences then, you know. I don't know. It just didn't seem right. And you probably remember this better than I do, but when I was really little, before the Big East and the Atlantic 10, New York area college hoops was nothing. You know, or it seemed like nothing. It seemed like any time there was a big prospect, it was almost assumed he was going to go to North Carolina, Kansas, UCLA, one of those type of schools. And, you know, really with the Big East really brought back New York basketball. And I had heard as a kid, it had something to do with it. One of the reasons why college hoops wasn't as big in the New York area was because of the big gambling scandals back in the 50s. It probably did have something to do with it. But I don't get Fordham. I mean, if they're not going to emphasize hoops, go to a small-time conference. You know, they're playing in a gym, a Division I school, 1,500 people. That's a joke. You're a prospect. You don't want to go to that school, you know?
That's true.
And what's now and then, this is one of the teams not in the tournament. The NCAA came down hard on Syracuse. And,
yeah, we're going to get to that.
Yeah. And, you know, it's like I don't like a lot of the shenanigans, but I don't like the NCAA or the NFL acting like they're law enforcement, and they're not. You know what I'm saying? Because that doesn't work. And Boeheim seems ticked. And I'm kind of glad he's sticking around, but it'll be tough for him to keep kids unless he makes it official that one of his assistants is going to be his successor. Because if he retires now, then it looks like he's leaving in disgrace. But we can get into that later.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's get to the brackets here. I'm gonna go down some starting off in the East. It's apropos that we're gonna start off in the East, but number one Villanova is playing number one number 16 Lafayette. Right now they're at halftime. And in my opinion, that the number one seed should have a pretty easy time of it. Right now, they're at halftime, winning 49-26. I don't see that score getting that much more closer than what it is right now. And Villanova should cruise to the next round in their bracket. Going over to, it's happening today. It's going to happen at 9:20, which is, this is always an interesting game when you get two teams that are seated closely together, like a 4-5, an 8-9, something like that. And that's what's happening in the next bracket I'm talking about, which would be the number 8 seeded North Carolina State against the number 9 seeded LSU Tigers. Quite naturally, in my opinion, that's a toss-up. I took LSU because I think LSU is a little bit more athletic than NC State, and that I have an idea that LSU will be able to get to the next round, but maybe not that much farther, because once they finish playing, and if they win that set between North Carolina State, they're due to play the number one seed, unfortunately. So their run may be just going to the second round. Either way, whoever wins the 8-9, I don't see them going any further, because they have to play the number one seed after their initial game. Jeff, I don't know if you have any thoughts on NC State and Louisiana State University, LSU Tigers, but I'll give you a chance to respond.
I don't know that much about those two teams. I was going to say something else, but it slipped my mind. I'll get back to it. So,
okay. Well, we can move on to the next one. It's in the same Eastern bracket. This is a little bit more of a disparity in the rankings. Right now, obviously, in two brackets, in the West and in the South, it didn't make much of a difference. But this is the number 5 ranked in this bracket, Northern Iowa, against the number 12 Wyoming. I forget their what they call Wyoming.
The Cowboys, maybe?
Maybe Wyoming Cowboys. I think you're right about that, if I'm not mistaken. Something like that. It's not the huge. That's Utah. But I think that Northern Iowa is going to win that. I don't think that Wyoming's got enough firepower and is equipped enough to, even though they made it to the dance, I don't think they'll be able to get past Northern Iowa, who's a formidable Missouri Valley opponent. And I think Northern Iowa is going to move on to the next round. What they will be facing is the winner of, and this should be pretty interesting matchup. The number 4 Louisville Tigers, they're their seeding in the East. They're number 4 against the number 13 University of California Irvine team, which is going to take place tomorrow. And I'm seeing, in my opinion, that Louisville, coached by Rick Pitino, who's well-versed in tournament play, and his team, for the most part, are well-versed in tournament play, that I'm not seeing that with their high-pressured defense that Louisville carries, it's going to be able to the University of California, Irvine. What's your thoughts on that, Jeff, if you have any?
I'll tell you, I was thinking about Louisville the other day, and I was curious. I wanted to check the bracket to see what would have to happen for them to play Kentucky, because that's one of the biggest rivalries in all of sports. I know Kentucky is going to be playing, I think, a couple games in the Louisville Arena, which, you know, it's only 70 miles away. It's practically a home game for Kentucky. I mean, yeah, a lot of people in Louisville hate them, but I'm sure they still have plenty of fans in every city in the state of Kentucky. I would love to see Louisville play Kentucky. That gets my attention. So, and you know, I it seems like that Missouri Valley Conference is on the rise, and yeah, I mean, Northern Iowa is known mostly for football and Kurt Warner, but they have been doing better in basketball.
All right. Like I said, I think Louisville is going to be the one facing Northern Iowa, and that's going to turn out, if it turns out like it should, that's the number 5 Northern Iowa versus the number 4 Louisville Louisville team. And like I said earlier, anytime you get a 2-seeded teams that are that closely seeded, 8-9, 4-5, something like that, 1-2, 1-3, 2-3. You for the most part, you're going to get a very coin toss type of game, meaning it's going to take a coin toss to for you to decipher who's going to be the winner. But if Northern Iowa gets past Wyoming and Louisville gets past UCI, then I think that, believe it or not, and I'm going out on a limb here, I think Northern Iowa is going to take that. Now, that's one of my, I don't know if it's an upset special, but it's something that I think that Northern Iowa is can pull that off. And I'm pretty sure because of name recognition, a lot of people, because I've only put in one bracket. A friend of mine started a bracket, and I only put in one bracket of 64. So it's just one shot that I get to eventually come to the winner, and we'll hopefully get to that. But I'm thinking that if Northern Iowa gets past Louisville, then it's up to Villanova and Northern Iowa to go to the next round. I think that's how I'm seeing it so far. Let's continue in the East with number 6 in this East bracket, Providence, against number 11, Dayton. And I think because and this team's always proved to be pretty tough in the Big East tournament and in tournament play, they always seem to rise to the occasion when you think that in the past, during the regular season, they've been up and down and inconsistent. But come tournament time, Big East and the NCAA tournament, they seem to hit another gear and play, so to speak, above themselves. So I think that number 6 Providence is going to be able to get past number 11 Dayton tomorrow at 9:57 p.m. So I don't know if you have any thoughts on that, Jeff, but I like Providence against Dayton next tomorrow.
You know, I mean, I'd root for Providence just for being from the Big East, but I heard good things about Dayton. And isn't that game also going to be practically a home game for Dayton? That should help a little. So I think, I'm pretty sure that game is played in Ohio.
I can find out. I don't know exactly where
it's
played at.
It can pass, you know. What drives me crazy about the tournament? I know it's not easy, but I wish they would try to keep more Eastern schools in the East. I mean, some years the East is stacked, but you know what I'm saying? But, like, when they got Seton Hall in the West region and playing in Seattle, to me, that really stinks for the fans. And the families, too. You know, I mean, it really stinks. I wish they'd try to cut down on that.
Brought that up about a pet peeve. My pet peeve is this. And just like you say, you know it's hard, but they should try to find a way that some of these teams, regardless of where they're seated at, don't play relatively home games. You know, like they're in their home state, or maybe in their in their own arena. I mean, I've seen that happen when they played in their own arena, but in their home state. So for the most part, and that this is going along with what you're saying, if they're playing an East team or they're playing a team that's halfway across the country, these guys are playing a home game, and quite naturally you're going to get a bigger crowd of your home crowd than who's your supposedly visitor. And that's a decided advantage, especially in college basketball. So that's my pet peeve, along with what you're talking about East teams going halfway across the country or totally out of their region and being in a hostile environment compared to a team that may be playing, like I said, a home game. All right, let's move on to the next, still in the Eastern bracket, and whoever wins this next matchup is going to go up against, if I'm predicting right, against Providence. And this should be a pretty good matchup, but I think you're not going to get a 3 seed and a 14 seed, with the 14 seed upsetting the 3 seed. The Oklahoma Sooners going up against the University of Albany. That's at 7:27 tomorrow. And I think...
excuse me.
Bless you. I think that Albany is happy to get to the dance. I think the dance is going to be shortened for them after they finish playing the Sooners on Friday night. Your thoughts, Albany versus number 3, Oklahoma?
With all due respect to Albany, those teams were given the appropriate seed numbers, and I don't think Albany doesn't look like a Cinderella.
That's true. So if things pan out like I predict that they will, then Providence is going to go up against Oklahoma, and I think Providence is going to be a short dance and lose to Oklahoma, and Oklahoma is going to advance to the next round, next round past that. Then they're going to be facing the winner of the number 7 seed, which is Michigan State. And this should be a very matchup. This should really be a really good matchup. It's a 2 seed, which is Virginia, versus a 7 seed, Michigan State. I watched Michigan State play Wisconsin for the Big Ten or Big 12, whatever, Big Ten championship. And they should have won this. Let me put it this way. Because, and I'll tell you why. Going toward the end of the game, the ball, I think, bounded off the basket or whatever and was on its way to outbounds. And a Wisconsin player went after it and saved it from going out. Wisconsin got the ball and was able to hit a shot at the last, I think it was at the last second, if I'm not mistaken, or hit a shot that was, it was at the last second, and won the game. Replay showed that Wisconsin player, left foot, or one of his feet, I don't know exactly which one, but one of his feet were out of bounds. So the ball should have been to Michigan State, and Michigan State should have won the game. But it is what it is. You can't discount it. Michigan State still in the play dance. They probably would have got a higher seed, and Wisconsin would probably have not gotten a 1 seed. They probably would have got a 2 or 3 seed. So, and Wisconsin's over in the West, and Michigan State's over in the East, and they're going up against the number 2 seed in the University of Virginia. Now, I have to say that there's two high-seeded teams, a number 2 team and a number 1 team. Not a number 1 team. A number 2 team and a number 3 team that I can see possibly getting upset. And one of them did almost get upset earlier today. We'll get into that. But we're talking about University of Virginia, and I think the University of Virginia not maybe not in this round, but in the up and coming rounds, I would not be surprised if they were upset. I think they're going to get past Michigan State, which is a very tough out, in my opinion. And they play tomorrow. Michigan State plays tomorrow. Let me get this right. Michigan State plays tomorrow against Georgia, number 10 Georgia, and I think they'll be able to get past that. And Virginia plays number 15 Belmont, which I think they shouldn't have any problem getting past them and doing that, which is going to bring them for a matchup, Michigan State and Virginia. Your thoughts on – I won't even talk to you about Virginia and Belmont because I think that's just a no-brainer there. But Michigan State against Georgia, that's a number 7 seed against a number 10 seed. What's your thoughts on that?
You know, I got a lot of respect for the Michigan State program. Don't know a lot about Georgia. And I like defense, but just the Virginia, it's too much defense. It's, you know, if they were playing any more old school, they'd be shooting into a peach bucket or something. It's just, I think they're setting back the sport a little bit. So, okay, yeah, I don't want to see Virginia go past the second round. It's nothing personal. It's just they play an ugly style of ball. So that's my rooting interest.
Okay. All right. Excuse me. Got past the East. Now we're going to go to the South, where one of the upsets has taken place. But it's not here. Not the first matchup we're going to be talking about. First matchup we're going to be talking about is, and you know, I'm really surprised at this, that the number one seeded Duke got the number one seed. I thought that Virginia in the South would get the number one seed, but they got the number two in the East. And Duke got the number one seed in the South. And that's what I'm talking about. Duke is in the South, which is like playing home games, but and I think it's unfortunate, maybe because it's Duke. Maybe I'm talking a conspiracy type of thing, Jeff, like getting some pointers from you about that. But number one Duke tomorrow at 7:10 goes up against number 16 Robert Morris. And I think that's a no-brainer. I'm not even going to give you a chance to respond or who you think is going to win there. That should be a pretty easy time of it. They got one of the top players in the country in Okafor. And so I'll move on to what's one of my favorite matchups, an 8-9 seed. San Diego State plays tomorrow at 9:40. Up against, and you know this team well, you heard of this team, a storied team from New York. Mark Jackson and company played, he played for this team. Talking about number 9 seed St. John's going up against number 8 San Diego State. What's your thoughts on who's going to get to the next round and whoever does is going to face Duke?
You know, San Diego State has really developed that program there. Isn't their head coach, wasn't he an assistant at Michigan for a long time?
He was the head coach. He was the head coach.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, right, right. I mean, he was, there were like the glory days he was assistant, and then he was promoted to head coach, and now he's out there in San Diego. And he's got a good program there. So, I don't know. I mean, yeah, I'd like to see St. John win, but, you know, that's a tough opponent.
Well, believe it or not, maybe it's a hometown thing for me, but I took the number 9 seed again in that bracket. I'm taking number 9 St. John's going up against number 1 Duke. And let me tell you something. I'm looking at this bracket, Jeff, that Duke has to go through, and I can see that they're going to breeze through the first round. I can see that they're going to breeze through the second round, and it's a strong observation for what I'm seeing in this bracket that they may even breeze through the third round. because if they beat St. John's in the second round, they're going to face the winner of these four teams that I'm going to tell you about. Number 5, Utah. Number 12, SF Austin. Number four, Georgetown. And number 13, Eastern I got a brain freeze here. Eastern Washington, I'm sorry. And to me, that's a joke. Because the fact is, the only one I can see really giving Duke a good game is Utah, believe it or not. I don't think Georgetown can give them a good game. And right now, number 5, Utah, and number 12, and believe it or not, I don't know if these guys are SF Austin. I'm trying to think of what they are.
Stephen F. Austin.
Yeah, thank you. I couldn't think of
it. It's in Texas.
Yes, I know it's in Texas. I just couldn't think of who the first initials were. Utah is up 18-15 with halfway through the first half. So this team looks like it's going to be a low-scoring game, and it may be unless one team dominates coming out of the break on the second half, maybe a low-scoring game. On the other side is number 4, Georgetown, against Eastern Washington. And I didn't even know there was a Division I NCAA team called in basketball Eastern Washington, but apparently there is. And they're going up against Georgetown. They have a 13 seed. They're not the worst, absolute worst, but they're not quite naturally in the middle of the pack either. So if things go right, thinking the 5 seed, which is Utah, is going to face the 4 seed, which is Georgetown, with the 5 seed moving past Georgetown and facing number 1, Duke. Now, like I said, if you look at the bracket, the top of that bracket where Duke is going to face teams, they are in my opinion, it's not even close. It's not fair. Conspiracy theory is all over this place, in my opinion. It's so bad, it's ridiculous. In my opinion, they'll get to the Elite Eight with there shouldn't be any problem, and that's when they're going to run into a problem with the winner of the other part of the bracket in the South, which we're going to go through now. And this is two of these games have already been played. And that's number 6, SMU, versus number 11, UCLA. And UCLA wins that game by 1 point, 60-59. And if I'm not mistaken, is this the one that you told me they had a controversial call, or is it one of the games?
Yeah. Which you hate to say. And excuse me, I got the Purdue Cincinnati game going on in the background, and this Cincinnati kid just got ejected for 2 flagrants. Oh, I mean, you could tell afterwards. He know he messed up because that could be how he's ending his season. That's such a shame. I mean, what was he thinking? Oh.
Okay. All right. But while you're looking at that game, let's talk about this game. Can you break down what the controversial call was about? Because I'm trying to catch up on these games.
About goaltending. It was I can't explain it. I heard it, but it was a very controversial goaltending call.
Was it offensive or defensive goaltending?
I think it was defense, but it was just a lot of people thought it was a lousy call.
Apparently it went against SMU. Am I right about that?
Yeah.
Okay. So, unfortunately, I listened to Larry Brown, I think it was yesterday, or it could have been the day before, when he was on one of these talk show radio in New York, I think with the Michael Kay Show, if I'm not mistaken, where he thought he was unfairly seated, that he only got a 6 seed and thought that his team should have been seeded higher. Well, Larry, you're going home now. Controversial call or not, number 6 seed, you put your team in this position, or your team got into a position, I should say, to let something like that happen. And unfortunately, you were on the short side of that. And SMU goes home, and UCLA is moving on. And it's ironic because on the other side of that bracket, who UCLA is going to face, is the winner between the Iowa State and UAB. And that's pretty ironic. You had 6 versus 11 and 3 versus 14. And both those teams, the higher seeded team, lose by a single point. And believe it or not, Jeff, now this is conspiracy theory at its best, Jeff, when I give you the scores of this game. SMU loses to UCLA 60-59. Iowa State loses to UAB 60. UAB moves on to face a number 11 UCLA, and UAB is number 14, the 14th seed. So between those, Jeff, I don't know too much about UAB, and that's why I really didn't pick them especially against Iowa State. But from what I understand, they scored the last 13 points in that game. I'm almost
the Blazers.
Positive. They scored, I think they scored the last 13 points in that game to overtake Iowa State. Now we have UCLA Bruins against UAB going to go past that to face next set of teams that I get to. What's your thought? Who's going to win that?
Probably UCLA, but that is another very interesting bracket.
All right, the next set of teams play tomorrow, and one game is at 7:20. The other game is at 9:50. The first game at 7:20 is number 7 Iowa against number 10 Davidson, which I think number 7 Iowa should handle Davidson pretty easily. And then one of my, I wouldn't say Cinderella teams, but this team has been a perennial good tournament player throughout the years. And got a reputation for giving teams fits when they play them. I'm talking about number 2 Gonzaga against number 15 North Dakota State, which I think should be a no-brainer to me, and that it would be number 7 Iowa, in my opinion, going up against Gonzaga, and the winner of that would go up against the winner of UCLA and UAB. So if things pan out and Gonzaga wins its matchup and Iowa wins its matchup against the lower seed, what's your thoughts on Iowa and Gonzaga moving on?
That's tough. I mean, they're both pretty good. It's hard to pick one. I'll tell you, a lot of these schools don't have Division I football. I mean, it's not that it's relevant, but some of these are smaller schools, and maybe that's why they don't have Division I football. So it's just something I noticed, you know, because, you know, some of these schools are relatively small. They're not all, you know, like Big Ten schools with, you know, 40, 50,000 students.
Right. You don't have any thoughts on that?
Not really. I mean, it's hard to pick one. They both look pretty solid, sound solid.
Well, I'm going to go out on a limb. I think it's going to be Gonzaga. In fact, I have Gonzaga going quite far and even beating. And I think this is where it's going to get tough for Duke, because I think Duke is going to have a relatively easy ride going up against the teams if it pans out, Duke wins, and regardless of who wins to match up against Duke, Duke had a pretty relatively easy ride until they match up against Gonzaga, and I think that's where the rubber really going to meet the road, and they're going to have issues because of they haven't been tournament tested up until that point. In this tournament, and I'm not talking about past tournaments, I'm just talking about this tournament, and it may I would say catch them by surprise, but they really they may not be able to live up to the perform up to the opponent that's facing. Anyway, let's move over to the West bracket where the other upsets took place. And let's start at the top with number one, Wisconsin. And I saw somewhere that I think it was maybe Charles Barkley, or I forget exactly who said it, that Coastal Carolina is going to surprise a lot of people going up against number one, Wisconsin. Maybe in the first five, maybe in the first 10, but the final results, the game's not going to be won in the first 5 or 10 minutes, but the final results are going to be Wisconsin, in my opinion, going past Coastal Carolina, and I would say probably a cakewalk. So we're going to move to one of my favorite matchups. Here it goes again. The 8 Oregon Ducks versus the 9 Oklahoma State team. And they're playing tomorrow, along with Wisconsin and Coastal Carolina. They're also playing tomorrow. Oklahoma State and Oregon are playing tomorrow also. And I think, in my opinion, it's going to be in the other two 8-9 matchups, I took the 9th seed. In this one, I'm taking the 8th seed and like Oregon. What's your thoughts, Jeff?
Don't know a lot about those particular schools. I'll tell you, I didn't Coastal Carolina. I mean, I don't, with all due respect, the Chanticleers, I think they're called. I'm pretty good at trivia. Yeah. With all due respect to Coastal Carolina, they don't have a real shot against Wisconsin. They got Kaminsky and some other good players.
Right.
Didn't they have win a couple of tournament games a couple of years ago? And that's huge for building a program. That is huge, because then the coach could tell the kids, hey, not only did we make the tournament, we won a couple games, and, you know, if you come to this school, we're going to go to the Final Four. So that really, sometimes it might take, you might not see it the next year, but sometimes 2-3 years later, these schools really benefit from a strong showing in the tournament. So maybe that might have something to do with it. That's a mismatch, though. It's a shame for them if they got somebody who wasn't a one seed, they'd have a better shot. But, you know, that's part of the deal with the tournament.
Yeah, you're right about that. You know what we're going to do? We're going to take a pause for the cause for a couple minutes. We're going to and then we'll be back to talk about the rest of these brackets. And wherever else hits us. We've got about 20 minutes left, give or take, in the show. So we'll be right back.
Victor Gardner began the Fantasy Sports and Politics brand with the idea of combining two of his passions into a radio show. He then learned that politics were 95% of sports. When you tune into the Fantasy Sports and Politics show every Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern, Mr. FSP himself, Vic Gardner, and Jerry the Master Taylor will go over the weekend sports, prep you for your upcoming fantasy games, and spark a debate politicians would love to hear. That's the FSP show every Saturday at 1 p.m. on blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. You can listen at spotonradio.web.com after the show as it streams 24/7, 365 for other informative programs as well. Information, motivation, variety.
Looking for fantasy sports advice? How about informative conversation? Look no further, as the Master Plan features two men that can help in both areas. Jerry the Master Taylor and Lance the NFL Exporter Goodman provide you with a fantasy fix live every Sunday morning on the Master Plan at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. You can listen at spotonradio.webs.com after the show as it streams 24/7, 365, and listen to other informative programs as well. That's the Master Plan, Sundays 10 a.m. Eastern on blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK and streaming at spotonradio.webs.com. Information, motivation, variety, the Master Plan.
We are back. And update the scores. Number one, Villanova, with about 2 minutes left in the second half, is beating Lafayette unmercifully. Unmercifully, I should say. 92-50. Utah State is pulling away a little bit in the closing minutes of the first half. Right now they're winning 24-15, a relatively low-scoring game. I'm going to go to another one in Cincinnati and Purdue that you were talking about, Jeff. Second half, a little into the second half, they are at Purdue with 39. Cincinnati is 37. I'm sorry, 37. And another score is we haven't got to it yet, but we're going to talk about it. Is number four North Carolina versus number 13 Harvard, and the score is 50-36 with early into the second half. All right, let's get back to the West bracket, which we just talked about, Wisconsin and Coastal Carolina, and also Oregon versus Oklahoma State. If things pan out, in my bracket, the way I have it, Wisconsin is going to face Oregon, with Wisconsin being able to move on and face the winner of the next set of brackets, which is Arkansas, which is the number 5 seed in the West, versus number 12 Wofford. With Arkansas, in my opinion, coming out on top. And right now, North Carolina is winning by 14 over Harvard, and which is the number 4 seed. North Carolina, number 13, Harvard, which I'm saying that after these two games are over, Wofford and Arkansas are playing a little later tonight. I think Arkansas is going to win, and the winner of that is going to face North Carolina, and I think North Carolina eventually it's going to match up against Wisconsin. What's your thoughts? We already have an idea what's happening between North Carolina and Harvard. What's your thoughts between Arkansas and number 12 Wofford?
Yeah, wow. Wofford's one of these schools barely heard of. It's hard to pick a school like that. I'll tell you, Princeton won early today, speaking of Ivy League schools. I think it's terrific that there's two Ivy League schools in the tournament. So I guess, I mean, one of them's an automatic bid, but the other one must have been at large. That's pretty good. And, you know, I mean, Princeton's in New Jersey. I went to school about 10 miles away, and in some ways a world away in Trent State.
Yeah, I hear you.
But you know, Trent State is a good school, but it's not Ivy League. But I'll tell you, I think Ivy League hoops is on the rise, and it's a legit conference. You know, they don't have any, I can't remember the last time they had an NCAA scandal or anything like that. And you know, I like the conference tournaments, but they don't have it. It's, I think, the only Division I conference that doesn't have – I don't even know if they're technically Division I, but any, the only conference affiliated with the tournament that doesn't have with their own tournament. And everybody says it makes the regular season games so much more meaningful. Because that's, I guess, the only way to automatically get to the big dance. And I don't know. I think it's just very interesting. And, you know, there's probably some Ivy League guys in the NBA besides Jeremy Lin. But, you know, there might be some more good talent in that conference.
That's true. Let's move on to a game. These games that we're going over next have already been played, but I'm looking at my bracket to see how badly I've done. Not that bad, but I shouldn't have changed my mind on one of them. One of them was a complete surprise, so I can't really fault myself on that. And a lot of other people got surprised in that, and that part of the bracket really hurt them. But it is what it is. The first one I'm talking about is number 6 Xavier going up against the number 11 Mississippi, and I was looking for a upset special in this, and I didn't get it. Number 6 Xavier walked away pretty handily against number 11 Mississippi, 76-57, and they're going to face the upset winner between Baylor, and which is the number 3 seed. And number 14 seed, Georgia State. And I would never have thought that Georgia State would have beat Baylor, but 57-56 is the score, and Georgia State moves on, and Baylor goes home wondering what the hell happened. And I'm surprised because they're out in the West. Georgia State had to come from, quite naturally, Georgia, to play them. And you would think Baylor had the decided advantage. Not. Georgia State goes up against number 6 Xavier, and quite naturally, between those two, who the hell knows? I guess I would go against the number 14 seed. I don't think that Cinderella's trip is going to continue past the next round. So I think Xavier is going to, and they're going to be the fortunate person to go against the winner of the next four teams that we're going to talk about. And those teams have those matchups have already been decided, and the next round opponents have already been decided. I'm talking about number 7 VCU matched up against number 10 Ohio State, and I correctly picked this. I started to go with VCU, which was the lower seed, but I decided to go against Ohio State because I thought Ohio State was a good matchup against VCU, and they barely pulled it out, but Ohio State won 75-72 to move on, and they're going to be the fortunate ones to go against this next matchup. Number 2, Arizona versus number 15, Texas Southern, which was quite naturally, just like the other one, Virginia versus Lafayette. A no matchup, 93-72. Arizona moves on at the number 2 seed to face number 10 Ohio State. And in my opinion, I think Arizona is going to move on from that. What's your thoughts there, Jeff?
Yeah, that sounds right. Didn't Ohio State come into the season with big expectations?
Yes.
And have a disappointing season, but I guess they were able to pull it together when the time is right, because VCU is no joke. That's a legit program now.
Yes. All right, let's move on to this. Really, this is the – in this bracket is what most people think is going to be where the national champion is going to come from, talking about the Midwest bracket. And that's where number 1 Kentucky is playing tonight against at 9:40 against number 16 Hampton, and they're going to be the sacrificial lambs in the first round. Because Hampton, in my opinion, is a number 16 seed for a reason. And going against the undefeated team in Kentucky, who's the tallest team, if I'm not mistaken, in the NCAA tournament, the tallest starting five. And has a starting five sitting on the bench, waiting to take over for whoever is coming out of the game. I think that's an easy cakewalk for them to go to the next round, and they're going to be facing the winner of the game, Jeff Twatching, number 8 Cincinnati versus number 9 Purdue, where the score, if I'm not mistaken, is Purdue up by 5-4 points, 42-38, with about 9 minutes left in the second half. I picked Cincinnati to win this game. Now, this is what I get for overthinking, because in the East bracket and in the South bracket, I picked the number 9 seed to win against the number 8 seed. In the West bracket, I picked the number 8 seed to beat the number 9 seed. And I decided I wanted to do that again in the Midwest bracket, where I should have gone against my better judgment and go against and play Purdue, the number 9 seed, because I always try to go for me. I always got to go for the underdog. Didn't happen. I'm not saying that it won't happen, but they're up by 5 points. The 5 points can be easily picked up with the way they shoot threes nowadays in college basketball. And to tell you the truth, 8 minutes left in the game. Purdue is up by 1 point, 42-41. So my chance of me getting Cincinnati going up against Kentucky in the next round is highly possible. What's your thoughts on that game? I guess you're watching that game in the background, Jeff. What's your thoughts on Cincinnati and Purdue?
Oh, it's kind of ugly. It's kind of on in the background, and I'm not sure if he was one of the stars. I still can't believe that Cincinnati kid got kicked out of the game. Talking about Baylor, when you're an established program with expectations and you lose in a first round to a low seed, it practically ruins the season because the fans go nuts. It really does. I mean, you know, it can happen, but if it's a, if it happens where, you know, you have talent and you have had some success and there's a team that really has no business beating you, coaches could lose a job over that.
Sure. Yep. I don't know how safe this guy is at Baylor or the other one, which is at Iowa State. But to lose to a 14 seed going into the tournament, that's pretty bad. And let me put it this way. Now, both these 14 seeds, you would have never thought they would have been able to beat these three seeds. I'm talking about Georgia State against Baylor and UAB against Iowa State. Iowa State, in some brackets, like I said before, was picked to go to the Elite Eight or even some to even go to the championship. That's how some people thought of Iowa State, and they couldn't even get past the first round. That's a disgrace. So both these teams, the coaches and the players, have to be devastated. Talking about Baylor and Iowa State, they have to be devastated. And quite naturally, the fan base is not too happy. And the administration, athletic director, president, and the like, and board of trustees or whoever, alumni, are probably not too happy at all because of the fact that they had highest expectations. And quite naturally, if you're a three seed, you have high expectations of going pretty far in a tournament, and you get bounced out by virtually no-name teams that you would never, probably 9 out of 10 times you play them, you win the game, and you probably win it handily. But that 10th time is the key time that you play him in a tournament, and you get bounced out in the first round. So it is what it is, and we have a little time left, and I want to go. In fact, we're probably going into a little overtime. So I want to go over the last set of games. It's like six games that I want to go over. Two of them, two sets of games have been played already. The other two sets of games are going to be played tomorrow. We're going to four sets of games. Anyway, number 5, West Virginia against number 12, Buffalo. I got West Virginia winning that and moving on between the matchup of number 4, Maryland, and against number 3, Valparaiso. And I think West Virginia and Maryland match up in the second round, and Maryland wins that. And then we move on to, and this happened already, this is the finals, and my projection, they moved on. Number 6, Butler played number 11, Texas, and Butler beats Texas by 8 to move on to the second round. And this is another surprise, and this is one of the teams I think can get I had it moving on quite far in the bracket, but something tells me this team it can be bounced out because they played number 3 Notre Dame, played number 14 Northeastern, and just got by them 69-65. So Notre Dame goes up against Butler, but I think Notre Dame is going to be able to get past Butler and move on past that second round to the third round. And then we have number 7, Wichita State, who plays tomorrow at 2:45 in the afternoon against number 10, Indiana. What's your thoughts on those two teams there, Jeff?
Wow. I've listening to this whole thing. You know, Bobby Hurley's coaching up in Buffalo. He's got them playing pretty well.
Right.
I don't know if they're going to get past the first round, but I think he's a guy to keep an eye on for, moving on to a bigger job. But, hey, if he's happy at Buffalo, then, you know, maybe he should stay there. But, you know, that you can't hold it against a coach for wanting to move on.
Right.
Butler has established himself. I should say reestablished themselves because they were good, I think, back in the 50s as a real program. But who's Butler playing again?
Butler already won. They beat Texas. I was talking about Wichita State and Indiana.
Yeah. I think Texas was good a couple of years ago. They're more known for football, but there's no reason a school can't be good at both.
Okay. How about number 2, Kansas, is going up against number 15, New Mexico State. I think they're playing the first game tomorrow. And quite naturally, everyone is picking Kansas to beat New Mexico State and move on to the next round to match up against the winner between Wichita State and Indiana. What's your thoughts? I mean, it could be a no-brainer to me, but
it's really hard to pick the underdogs for those games. I'd love to see if any of the bookies are given odds. And I got to say, I heard some bookies are given even odds on Kentucky versus the field, which just goes to show you how much of a favorite Kentucky is.
Right. That's right. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. I've never heard of that before. That's insane.
Well, that's and I can understand why you wouldn't want to play a bracket, want to play one of these, because the fact is, it looks like the winner is predestined already. Not to say that they can't be beat, but I reluctantly put this bracket together because I said, what's the use? I think I have the winner already. It's just a matter of who's going to match up against them. And it's only, in my opinion, there's only maybe a handful of teams that can do that from all the other brackets. So it is what it is. We got all of them covered in a little more than an hour, Jeff. And if you have nothing else to say, or if you have something to say, let me put it this way. I want you to give me some closing thoughts, and then I'm going to sit down and probably watch some of these games, get a perspective of what's going on, see if any of these games are really worth watching. Cincinnati right now, update, Cincinnati is up by 1 point Well, it's a 1-point difference. Probably going to go back and forth right down to the wire with less than 5 minutes left in the game. With Cincinnati 45, Purdue 44, and probably by the time I got that out, the score changed, and it has. It's 46-45 Purdue with a little more than 4 minutes left in the game. So, Jeff, what's your thoughts before we get out of here?
Yeah, I mean, Kentucky's such a heavy favorite, but it's still worth watching because you can't assume there's going to be a lot of good games. Teams, just to get to the Final Four is an accomplishment. I mean, it's expected of Kentucky, but the other three teams, I mean, that gets hung from the rafters. That's like a conference championship. It's a big deal.
Yeah.
So it's definitely still worth watching. And sometimes with sports, it's not just who wins and who loses. It's how it happens. It's the journey. And because they're undefeated and they have such, you know, incredible talent. Kentucky's an enormous favorite. I can't even remember a favorite that big in my lifetime, but it's still going to matter. I mean, are they going to win big? You know, they haven't had a lot of close games this year. You know, that I don't think it'll make a difference, but who knows? That might become relevant. And they're not all freshmen because they've had that rep before, but, you know, they got the Harrison twins back. It's hard to imagine them losing, but it'll be interesting, I think.
Their average winning score is close to 20 points.
Yeah, that's some team. That is some team.
The difference, it's close to 20 points, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong. It could be over 20 points, but it's very close. I think it's about 20 points that their average win differential is, which is absolutely amazing. And quite naturally, that's why they're undefeated. All right, people, I appreciate you all listening. Hopefully, if you didn't catch us on live, you can catch us in the archives. Either way, I appreciate you listening. Tune in tomorrow. Excuse me. Tune in next week at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, where Jeff and I will lay it down again. And whatever's the flavor of the week, I should say, it'll be the last Thursday of March. Unbelievable. These months are going past quick. Before you know it, fantasy football, OTAs, and off-season training camps will be working out. And preseason games, which lead into regular season games, which quite naturally lead into fantasy football season. That's right around the corner. You blink your eye, you're going to be there. But without that, how about coming back next week and joining us again at East, and like I said, 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. And if you don't do that, join me and Victor on Saturday afternoon at 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, where we have the FSP show. Or if you don't like to listen on Saturday, you're too busy, you wake up with your morning coffee, your hot chocolate, orange juice, and a breakfast, and listen to the Master Plan at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on a Sunday morning. With all that being said and all those promos sitting out there, I want to, again, thank you for listening. And we'll talk to you next week. We're out of here.
Yeah. It's Mr. Encore. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Check. Fantasy Sports and Politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, log on. Peace.